This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for tuning in to Ringgit and Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me, Brian Fernandez. Now, in case you aren't already aware, Malaysians now have more options to get financing beyond the good old banks. For example, there's P2P or peer-to-peer financing. And here to give us an update on the industry's progress, we welcome back Christine Ng, CEO of Fantastic. Good to have you back on the program here, Christine.
Thanks so much, Han. It's a pleasure to be back.
All right. Recently, the Securities Commission Malaysia highlighted the growth of what they called alternative market-based financing avenues. Talk to us about the progress that Fantastic has seen so far since launching in July last year.
Yeah, we went live soft launch on the 7th of July, and we are barely 8 months old, but very happily, we've seen very good progress because as we speak, we've already hosted 109 notes and we've already disbursed 400 notes. And this means that the investors out there has already successfully helped 100 SMEs gain access to financing amounting to about 8.87 million.
All right. Now, for those who may have missed our chat on the Breakfast Grill and also last year's Ringgit and Sense, just real quick, give us an overview. What is P2P and how does it work?
The function of a P2P platform like Fundastic.com, we are a digital matchmaker. So what happens is that SMEs that require funding, they would submit the application to our platform and we would perform the necessary evaluation and deem whether they are viable to be invested by our base of investors. Mm. So we will host them and then do the matchmaking. Investors would be able to choose the type of notes that they want to invest in based on their personal risk appetite. And normally we find that investors would actually decide based on the amount of interest that they perceive to be getting from funding the SMEs.
Mm. Yeah. So Christine, what sort of know your customer checks do you perform on these customers to ensure that these borrowers are able to repay the loans?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question and a fundamental question that all investors need to know. What we are practicing is that we are leveraging a lot on the banking's process to ensure that the SMEs that we are receiving the applications from, first of all, they must be real. That means their business must be in existence and they must have a banking account with any of the banks incorporated in the country. Therefore, we are able to ascertain that there are transactions going on and the banks would have done the due diligence in ensuring that these businesses actually pass through the anti-money laundering and the counter-financing of terrorist criteria. And very importantly, the businesses must be registered with SSM. Mm. So for Fundastic, we are able to perform credit evaluation in a very speedy manner. We say that we have the fastest decision-making engine in town where from the application of a submission to decision, whether it is a yes or no, it is within 10 minutes.
Wow,
and
that's
we
very
are
quick.
Able to do this because the platform is directly piped using B2B connectivity to Credit Bureau Malaysia as well as CITOS.
Wow.
So we find that this is necessary because the SMEs don't want to be left in the lurch. They need to know whether they are successful or not successful in order to decide on what's the next course of action.
So Christine, what's the typical profile of your lenders and also your borrowers?
Okay, based on our statistics, let's go on the, well, we don't have lenders, we call them investors because we are part of the capital markets and basically the investors are investing in this new asset class called investment notes. So the typical profile of the investors, they are pretty young. Most of our investors are age 35 and below, which is very similar to the profile that SC has published in the annual report.
Yeah, that's right. 52% of participating investors are less than 35 years old. So millennials there.
Yeah, and they are retail investors, which means they do not invest a lot. Yeah, most of the mode of the investment amount is just around 300 ringgit in our website. Because we start with a very clear mission of wanting to help the young people, the millennials especially, grow their wealth. So the minimum investment amount is just 50 ringgit.
So Christine, that's the difference between yourselves and some of the other peer-to-peer lenders, the other five. So you focus on smaller investors.
Yeah, we focus on the not really smaller investors, but mass investors. Mm. So same goes with our profile of the SME base, whom, based on the guidelines in Malaysia, are called issuers. So they are the issuers of the investment notes that the investors invest in, right? So these SMEs, basically their profile, they can be, we don't have any skew towards whether the entity type or in terms of the years in funding. But one very interesting thing that we've noticed is that in terms of entity type, we have a more or less a 50-50 break between sole proprietors and Sendirian Berhad. And very, very interestingly, 50% of the issuers on our website, they are, in terms of their number of years in operations, 3 years or less. So we really are driving access to financing for these small or micro SMEs and startups.
So how much have you raised for these SMEs so far? Well, since July last year.
8.87 million.
For over 100 SMEs, is
that
right?
Yes, over 100 SMEs.
All right. Yep. And what about on the investor side then? Because the SC's number says that over 4,000 investors have participated in either equity crowdfunding or P2P, but that's last year. What's the latest figures right now?
Okay, based on our latest figures on our site, which you can actually see on the website on a daily basis because we are very transparent, right? our base currently stands at around 4,800. Yeah, and in terms of active members, more than half of them are investing very actively. And we find a happy problem right now because investors are so into helping the SMEs grow that we find the funding speed getting shorter and shorter. And our latest achievement or record is full funding in 57 seconds.
Less than a minute.
And how much? Less than a minute.
And how much funding was raised for that?
70,000.
Wow. So when you say investing actively, these are the guys sitting in front of their computers or on their smartphones just hitting refresh the whole time, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Something like that, because we actually started by hosting just on Fridays at around 11 a.m. But we find that since the appetite of the investors are there and we need to run faster, so what we have done now is split the hosting of the notes into 2 days, Tuesdays and Fridays. And we let them know that nearly at that time we will be hosting. So true, there will be people sitting in front of the computer hitting refresh in order to be able to invest in a portion of the notes. But the best thing is we notice there's no such thing as hogging of a note, because one of our notes, which is a 150,000 notes, was funded by 320 SMEs.
So Christine, are investors attracted to the high rates of interest that are being offered? Is that the attraction?
Yeah, definitely, I would say, because if you look at the market currently, there aren't many instruments that allow you to get such yield within 2 to 3 years.
So what sort of yields are we talking about?
We are talking about an average in terms of effective interest rates, returns of anything between 13% to 23% per annum. Yeah, and naturally there are risks involved, but because of the low entry barrier whereby you can choose to invest with just 50 ringgit, right? So literally anyone can diversify their portfolio in order to mitigate their risks.
Now, it seems that demand is outstripping supply in this case. Do you see a healthy enough pipeline of SMEs coming onto your platforms or P2Ps in general to raise financing? Is it keeping up with the demand out there?
It is keeping up because we started with just hosting one note per week, and then we went on to 3 and 5, and last week we achieved our record again of 9 notes. So we are trying to keep up to the demand by getting our salespeople work harder, yeah, and then without actually compromising on the risk quality. And we've also started going by trying to strike deals with groups of SMEs that has the needs for funding. So we hope to be able to meet up to the demand. Yeah.
So basically, your salespeople actively go out and solicit deals.
Yes, we do have a small team of salespeople to do that.
All right. Yeah. Well, you certainly described plenty of potential when it comes to P2P. In the second half, we'll talk about some of the risks that investors and the SMEs should be aware of before tapping into the P2P sector. This is Ringgit & Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han with Brian Fernandez speaking to Christine Ng, CEO of Fantastic. Stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Brian Fernandez. And in the studio, we have Christine Ng, CEO of Fantastic, which is a P2P lending platform. Now, in the first half, Christine, we spoke about the potential, right, for P2P when it comes to filling the void for financing here in Malaysia, especially catered to SMEs. Now, let's talk about the risks then. What are some key risks that both investors and SMEs should be aware of before tapping you guys?
Okay, first of all, the investors, as in any investment, there is a risk involved. So there is no such thing as their capital is being guaranteed or whatnot. But for investors, the main risk would be the repayment risk. That means the SMEs have taken up the funding, but somehow aren't able to make the monthly repayments due to a variety of issues. So that's the main risk that the investors face.
In terms of these repayments, do they pay the principal only during the tenure, or do they pay the principal and interest as well during that period?
For Fantastic, they pay the principal and interest every month during the tenure of the funding.
So the risk actually goes down as the loan progresses?
Yes, on a monthly basis. Yeah. So your risk actually reduces on a monthly basis, but that alone doesn't mitigate all the risk. So what we always tell the investors to do is that the reason why we have a very low entry barrier in terms of investment is so that everybody can practice the most important principle of successful P2P financing or investing. And that's the principle of diversification. So even if you have just 5,000 ringgit, P2P, it's a patient investment. Don't put all your 5,000 ringgit into 10 notes that you like. Put 50 ringgit in each note and build a portfolio of 100 notes over a period in time. It may take 6 months, it may take 8 months, it may take a year. But when you have a large enough portfolio, then the principle of don't put all your eggs into one basket so that it doesn't crash, because one basket crash, right? That would apply very nicely to you.
All right, a couple of quick questions right off the bat. So firstly, you mentioned 50 ringgit. Is that the minimum amount?
Yes, okay. For Fantastic.
Now, we know that you just launched in July. Have we seen any defaulters yet?
So far, we are most happy that in the 8 months of us going live and coming to the 9th month, we see zero lates, zero default. In fact, one of a very interesting thing that we see that as ex-bankers we've never seen before is that 60% of our notes are actually paid earlier than the due date. Yeah, so this is something that is very new in fintech, that a lot of things we don't know what we don't know, but we see that very positive behavior even from the SMEs themselves.
Right, yeah. Because I think you mentioned in the previous episode that your entire board is all ex-bankers, right?
Yeah, and a lawyer.
And a lawyer, oh. Just to play it safe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to, you know, looking at the credit worthiness of these companies, I see that you've got plenty of data points on your website there. For example, you got PD, which is
probability of default.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what that number actually signifies. You know, some of them are showing anywhere from 4% up to about 11%, 12%. So what is this PD and how should investors read this?
Okay, the probability of default is actually directly taken from the reports generated by Credit Bureau Malaysia. Yeah, and Credit Bureau Malaysia is one of the earliest to have a scorecard for both SMEs as well as individuals. So the probability of default represents the likelihood of that particular funding or note turning bad in the next 12 months based on observations of credit behavior from the past. Mm. So the lower the probability of default, the safer the note should be. But again, there's caveat to it because sometimes even though it's very low probability, like for example, 0.1%, it could be because the SMEs are new. So we always tell the investors to not just dive in into probability of default and think that that's the way to make a decision. They should also read about the other the points that we have given to make a informed decision about their funding. Mm. Yeah.
So, Christine, you mentioned earlier in our chat that basically more than 50% of companies that are funded essentially are less than 3 years old.
Yeah.
So, especially with young startups, what sort of criteria do you use to assess the risk? Because they don't have a track record. A company is new. Maybe it's 3 months old, 4 months old, 6 months old. So what sort of criteria do you use to assess risk?
And just to piggyback on that, because on your website, I see you've got different gradings from A1 to D8, right? So how do you come to those grades?
Okay, first of all, the A1 to D8, it's part of our scorecard. Our scorecard has 10 bands. Yeah, so A1 to actually E10. But we wouldn't hold anything beyond D8 currently. And what we do is we do a cut at a probability of default of 12% and below. So any credit application that comes in that has a probability of default above 12%, we would choose not to host it. Because this is a risk that we have taken up front from the platform angle to ensure about the quality. Now, in terms of how we do the credit evaluation, because very essentially, Fundestic is after the type of SMEs that are what in banking we call the small and micro. So credit behavior is very, very important to ascertain the viability of this segment. So we look more in terms of credit behavior rather than financials.
So this is credit behavior associated with the principles of the company, so the founders or the people who are running the company.
Correct. So we look at the people behind the company as to whether they have actually established good enough the credit behavior or discipline in order for us to host them. Because a lot of people feel that the P2P platform, we don't have any risk. I'd like to dispel that. We do, because especially for Fundestic, we actually take the first cost of recoveries. That means when a note turns defaulted, we need to pursue the legal action on behalf of the investors, right? We can't go back to all the investors and say, okay, to issue this legal summon, I need 600 ringgit, therefore you need to pay me 50 cents. Someone else needs to pay 1 ringgit. It doesn't work that way. So we have to absorb that 600 ringgit. So if the quality of the funding is no good, just imagine from the fees that we earn, it's barely enough to absorb.
Right. And so how much of a buffer do you have? How big is your pool that's set aside in case of such emergencies?
We actually don't set aside any. That was why in the last interview, we were asked, are you going to be making profit in year one? I said, even if we do very well, until we disburse like 120 million worth of notes, we are likely to be in the red. So that is why it is really a volume game and a quality volume game at that. Yeah.
Christine, where do you make money? Which are the various areas that you take fees from?
Yeah, so we monetize only upon success. Okay, success means when funding is dispersed. So we will monetize in terms of origination fee, 1% per annum from the SMEs and also from the repayments as management fee from the investors. So it's both sides, the investors and the SMEs would need to pay, but it's only 1% per annum. And I believe that's like the lowest in the country currently.
Right. So what can you tell investors and SMEs who are already taking part in your platform? How can you shore up their confidence? Because you just mentioned that, you know, you expect to be in the red for quite some time, at least for the foreseeable future. How can they have confidence in Fantastic that their funds, you know, there is at least some notion of capital preservation?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And I think the regulators took care of this part very well. First of all the P2P platforms must have a minimum paid up capital of 5 million before we can even start applying for the funding. So we've achieved that. And the second thing is all the funds, the investment monies that come in, it goes directly into a trust account. And we maintain our trust account with Maybank trustees. So there's no possibility of what's happening once upon a time in China, whereby quite a number of the company were fly by night and they literally took the money and ran away, right? But the fly by night issue was quite predominantly China before the regulators also stepped in. So SC has already done a great, what you call, risk mitigation on behalf of the investors by ensuring that the funds must go into a trust account. So in compliance with the guidelines, we must have that. And last but not least, SC makes all of us have a living will, which means we need to have a backup servicer in the event we voluntarily or involuntarily need to exit the industry. Yeah. So all these are in place and all our partners are very clearly stated in our website.
Yep. Well, hopefully that has allayed some of the concerns that may be out there. I certainly wish you all the best in growing Fantastic. Again, that was Christine Ng, CEO of Fantastic. I'm Tan Chung Han, and on behalf of Brian Fernandez, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Ringgit and Sense right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.